Listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
How are you guys doing? This is like the hardcore group, right? Hardcore Sunday night group. How many of you guys, I was told that a lot of you guys volunteer on Sunday mornings. How many of you guys volunteer on Sunday mornings this way? How many of you guys work, or how many of you guys just rather would come on Sunday night? All right, that's fair. Okay, I just wanted to know. Well, tonight we're going to go through some really interesting stuff, some fun stuff. And what's cool about Sunday nights is I've already done this twice. I hate repeating myself. I really do. So I'm going to kind of freestyle a little bit more tonight and just kind of go with the mood. And the mood is, what is the mood? All right. Just checking. Just trying to feel it. Did you guys have a good Christmas? Yes. Yeah? Good. I hope everyone did. If you had a horrible holidays, it's over. So if you had a great one, it's over. It is a little stressful, right? Yeah. It can be. Just worrying about, you know, getting the right presents for people and just trying to beat the traffic out there. It's crazy out there. So I'm kind of glad that the new year is Tuesday. Which is nuts. Can you believe it's already 2019? I can't believe it. Like, this year flew by. I waited a while. Well, I guess God had plans for us to wait a while for us to have our first kid. I'm 38 now, and my wife's 30, whatever. And what else is to say, right? She's younger. And we just had our first kid a couple years ago. She's two years and 3 months, and so like Christmas was a lot of fun this year. But it's just so much fun just hanging out with your families, and hopefully you guys got to do that. Everything has just changed. You know what I mean? It's just so cool. Anyway, I haven't seen some of you guys, so I'm just gonna talk. But we got to get into the business, right? First, you guys want to laugh or you guys want to get straight into the business? I can't tell. Those people, okay, well, I'll do it for you guys over here. All right, so I scoured the internet, and I found some internet advice. It was really difficult to do. You just have to Google. So I did the Googling for you, and I found some words of wisdom from the internet that pertains to New Year's Eve, all right? So here's the first one. You ready for this? No expectations means no disappointment. All right, so that's a good one. Yeah, right? Okay, so here's the next one. May all of your troubles last as long as your New Year's resolutions. Here's one. Youth is when you're allowed to stay up on New Year's Eve. Middle age is when you're forced to. How many of you guys have, like, teenagers? Or, like younger kids that just want you to stay up with them? The next one is life is not a fairy tale. If you lose your shoe at midnight, you're drunk. Next one is, Dear God, this is a good one. My prayer for 2019 is a fat bank account and a thin body. Please don't mix these up like you did last year. I like that. All right, the next two are more serious, but they're good. Brad Paisley apparently said, Tomorrow is the first blank page of a 365-page book. Write a good one. It's pretty cool, right? And the last one is from St. Francis of Assisi. This is an old one. Start by doing what's necessary, then do what's possible, and suddenly you're doing the impossible, right? Pretty cool. So I don't know if you guys, I asked the first service, second service, if you guys had, if anyone had New Year's resolutions, and nobody did. So I'm assuming that you guys probably aren't big on that either. How many of you guys have tried that before, and it just doesn't work anyway, so you just move on? But at the same time, I do think that we are called to grow, and I kind of like the fact that when one year ends, the new year begins. It's kind of an opportunity to grow, and it feels like it's another at bat, right? That's what it feels like. It feels like I'm a baseball player back in the day. I love that sport. And when you strike out, it was the worst. But if you got to get up again, that was huge because you had another chance. And it feels like the next year is another at bat. I don't know how your 2018 went. I don't know how it was. But mine was really good this year. But I want 2019 to be even better. I want to continue to grow. And I want to be mature in God. And that takes work, just like anything else. I mean, if you want to lose weight or get in shape, like, that takes work to do that. But if you want to get in shape spiritually, it's the same thing. You got to put work in. And so before we start that, I'm going to read a different passage that I didn't read this morning. So you guys are getting something that they don't get. Well, at least I'm going to read it to you. This is one of my favorite passages. And this pertains to our faith and what we believe can happen. Ezekiel 37 says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry." Okay, so there's bones in this valley, and they're dry. That means that these people have been dead for a long time, right? Just dead. "And he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' And I answered, 'O Lord God, you know.' Then he said to me, 'Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and you shall and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone, and I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, and there was no breath in them. And he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army." That passage is so powerful because it shows God wanted to prove to Ezekiel and to the people that he was the God who revives people from the death. He's the God that brings something new when there's nothing there. He's the God that creates when there's nothing there. So, and sometimes I think like we get into this mindset where we think that we've seen it all, or we get into this mindset where we think we've lived it all. We think that God can't surprise us anymore. Maybe we're not saying that out loud, but ultimately like we're believing that. We're believing that God's done doing the cool stuff with us. Some of you guys have been saved for a long time. And you remember that time when you first came to the Lord, you first came and got involved in church and you first started reading your Bible for the first time, you first started praying, there was an excitement there. There were dreams there. There's a fervency there and it was fun and it was exciting and you didn't know what was going to happen. And you started seeing things you've never seen before. You started feeling things you never felt before. And it was really fun. And I don't know what happens, but we get into maybe a routine and we just get involved in our normal everyday life. And there are a lot of things that we have to do that are just kind of mundane, right? And so we get in this mindset of like, well, you know, God still moves. Yes, I still believe all that because he's done it in my life before. But we get in this place where sometimes we don't really believe that God's going to continue to surprise us. We don't believe that God's going to continue to energize us. We don't believe that God's going to continue to wow us, to like make us realize that there's so much more, right, than we expect. And I think that for some of us, and I'm speaking maybe more to myself than anybody else, I want to be the type of person that is like my little girl, my little two-year-old. I want to see the world fresh again. I want to see God moving fresh again. I want to see his spirit move. I want to see things that I've never seen before. And I believe that he can do that. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. And it doesn't matter how long you've been saved. God is an original God. He's an original creator. And he can do amazing things, and he can really surprise you. So in 2019, let's have some big hopes, right? Let's have some. Let's believe that God is still pretty darn big, right? And still believe that he can do some amazing stuff. So we're gonna start today. Did I pray yet?
Nope.
No. Can't remember. Did I pray? prayed earlier, but I didn't pray with you guys. So let's do this. Father, I pray that you would open our hearts right now. And I pray that you'd open our minds. And I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would speak to us individually and as a group. I pray that you'd show us what you want to show us tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you'd put a fire inside of us. The kind of fire that destroys things that need to be destroyed, but it also revives things that need to be revived. Lord, I love you, God. And these people are here because they want to hear from you and they love you. God, we need you. I pray that you would just put a new spark in our lives, all of us, God. And let us go, Lord, to new places. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about wooey weird stuff. I'm talking about a God who's real, right? Like, if this is real, then we got to believe it, right? So let's turn first to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to start there. And I love going back to Genesis because it's the beginning, especially before the fall. We have this view of the original plan, of how God originally intended it. I think a lot of times for me, and this is the beauty of being human and the beauty of just having the minds that we have that God gave us, is we're allowed to look at our lives and we're allowed to ask ourselves, am I lining up with God's plan? Or am I lining up with where I'm supposed to be? Am I becoming more the person that God has called me to be? Or am I kind of fading away from that? And it's important for us to ask these questions. And you know, New Year's resolutions and changing our habits, those are all good things. And some of us need to do that. But ultimately, we need to ask ourselves the question, am I growing? Am I getting closer to God, right? Am I becoming the person that God has called me to be, the original creation that God has called me to be? Or am I just kind of floating? Am I just doing life? And so those are the kind of questions that I want to be thinking about as we go through this. So Genesis chapter 1, this is the original plan that God had before the fall, all right? It said, God blessed them. This is Adam and Eve. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on earth. So the original plan, right, was for man and woman to be fruitful and multiply, which had a very literal meaning for them because it was just Adam and Eve. So they literally had to populate the earth. They had to have children. They had to have families. They had to have just healthy families. And they had to work the ground and they had to go fish the oceans. And it sounds like a pretty awesome life, a pretty cool plan at the very beginning, right? Before it got a little messed up, right? Like how cool would it be just to be able to walk outside every day and go fish and hunt and, you know, and go farm and do your stuff and then hang out with your family. Like that was their job, is to just go get your food. I'm sure it's harder than it sounds, but it sounds pretty fun to me. And so that's what God does. He puts us in places and he gives us a challenge. So that was his original plan. But I want to focus real quick on this part right here. Be fruitful and multiply. Now that had a very, very specific type of meaning, which was about having kids. But I think that it also means, and I've looked this up in the Bible. Do you guys use websites for Bible studies ever? Anybody? One person. Okay, I'll talk to you. So there's this website. It's called ESV.org, and you guys can. It's just the ESV Bible. It's really easy to read. It's pretty accurate. But you can go on there and you can type a word in, and do a word search, and everywhere that word comes up in the Bible, it'll be a list of all the verses. And so that's one of the things I do when I'm studying for preaching. And I did this with fruit, and I did it with fruitful. And it's a common theme all throughout the Bible. Be fruitful, be fruitful, be fruitful. In fact, God specifically tells Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, I think it's Jacob. He tells all these guys, like specifically to them, to be fruitful and multiply, be fruitful and multiply. And yes, it means have families. Yes, it means have children. Yes, it means have healthy communities. But I think what it also means is that we should grow individually and especially spiritually. So I think what God would call all of us to do is to be people who grow spiritually in Him. So I looked at the Bible. I did a bunch of searches and I came all the way to Jesus. There's a lot of other verses. I encourage you, if you want to take it further, to do that. But let's jump all the way to the New Testament in John 15. And Jesus is talking about fruit. And he says this, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. So it's God's will. Jesus is saying it's the Lord's will for us to bear fruit, to be fruitful as Christians, to be fruitful as followers of Jesus. And he gets in how to do that as we go. Go back to that last verse. But I want to focus on this part real fast. It says that every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Now that's really interesting because how many of us feel like we do the right thing sometimes and then bad things happen? Like how many times have you thought, man, I'm doing everything right, but my life isn't perfect? Well, it says right here in the Bible that if you're doing things right and things are going well and you're producing fruit, that he's going to prune you so that you can produce more fruit. So in other words, you're gonna go through trials. You're going to go through tribulations. Things are going to be taken away from you so that you can get stronger. So that, I'm not a farmer, but I heard once that when a tree is pruned, it actually strengthens the root system. It actually makes you deeper. Right? It actually makes a tree deeper. So Jesus was talking about us. It would make us deeper, right? Like we would be stronger because of that pruning. Next verse, I'm kind of skipping. You can go back and read the rest later. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing, right? So the idea is to stick with Jesus, right? The next verse. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Next verse. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Next verse. Is that it? Okay. I think I did that last time too. But the point is that we need to be connected to Jesus in order to be healthy. And if you're healthy, you'll produce fruit. I've never seen a orange tree when I drive out here by the orange groves. I've never seen an orange tree struggling to produce fruit. I've never seen it just going, pop. You know, I've never seen that happen. They just produce fruit because they're healthy. Right? When they are healthy. When they're not healthy, they don't. And so what I want to encourage all of us to think about in 2019 is how can I be healthier? How can I be a healthier individual and produce more fruit? Obviously, the first step is to get closer to Jesus, right? Like that's key. That's huge. But I want to give you guys a few more things. I think I have like seven biblical ideas that can help you become more healthy. And I encourage you to build on this list, okay? This is a very small list compared to all the stuff that's in here. This book is pretty gnarly. Like, it's pretty good stuff. So I recommend you guys dig into it and find health. And what's crazy is if you get yourself disciplined to read the Bible and pray every day and just listen for what God has to tell you, right? Like, not just read it just to know it and to become the smartest kid on the block, but to read it to live it. And this will mess you up, by the way. Like, this messed me up, like, bad. And I don't mean like it messed me up, like I mean it messed my head up. Like I was like, this is really crazy. When you decide to read the Bible in order to live it rather than just to know it so that you can talk about it, it really changes your life.
Oh, yeah.
And so I would encourage you to do that. But we're just going to go through these seven things, and hopefully that kind of spurs you on. My whole purpose tonight is just to light a fire in you, and so you can just take it on, and so 2019 can be the best year ever. Like, really, I want that to happen for us, because we don't know what's going to happen in 2019, right? This is training. Like, we're in the boxing ring right now. Like, we're training with you. We're sparring with each other. We have to do this because we don't know what's around the corner. We don't know what kind of enemy is around the corner. We have no idea what kind of trials and tribulations are coming. But they're coming, right? So we got to be ready. It's all training. So the first one is embrace your calling. How many of you guys know that God himself, who's kind of a big deal, God himself has called you to something huge? He has. And when I say huge, I don't mean that he's calling you to be famous necessarily or rich necessarily. Maybe he is, I don't know, if you're fortunate. But he's calling you to be the best you that you can be. He's calling you to be a light in the community that you're in. He's calling you to grow. He's calling you to just be one of his children, to be an heir, to be a light in a very dark world. And a lot of us don't realize that. And that calling isn't generic. It's very specific. And it looks different for all of us. And I don't know what your calling is, just like you may not fully understand mine because you don't know. You're not me and I'm not you. But you know because you have been walking around on 2 feet on this earth for a while. And God, when he starts to call you, he starts calling you at a young age. He starts speaking to you at a very young age. He starts saying, hey, you're my kid. And you know, you guys know this. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And what's crazy is when God starts calling you at a young age, when you get older, and that never changes. You might do some crazy stuff. Your mind might not be there. You might just be living your life, doing your thing, kind of ignoring God. You might be a Jonah, but God pursues you. And he will find you. And ultimately, he's not pursuing you to captivate, like to make you captive. He's pursuing you to make you part of his kingdom. He's pursuing you because he wants you to be a part of his family. Right? So embrace your calling. The devil has one game, and only one game. His game is to discredit you, to tell you that you aren't good enough, to tell you that you aren't a part of the plan. That's his only game. Look at the book of Job. The book of Job, you see the devil come on the scene, and Job is a good, righteous man, and the devil hates it because he has favor and he's blessed, right? And so God allows the devil to mess with Job because the devil says, hey, I can discredit this guy. And God says, no, you can't. No, you can't. And it's kind of a crazy story, but we see what the devil tries to do, and he fails. Ultimately, he's tried to do this with all of us. He's tried to do this with lots of people, and he fails because God's voice is much more powerful and much more real, right? And so what the devil tries to do is he tries to condemn us. In Romans 8:1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. None. There's no condemnation. I love that chapter, by the way. Romans 8, 8 and Romans 12 are like two of my favorite chapters in the world. They're so awesome. But Romans 8 talks about how nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing. Like we can go through anything. We could be like a Job and lose everything and God's love would still be there. I don't want to lose everything, but we have to be people that are willing to be brave to understand that whatever happens in life, whatever happens, and bad things can't happen, if they do, that God's going to be there with you in the midst of the trial. Right, think of Daniel, think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? Like think about all these people that literally went through fires and lion's dens and all this crazy stuff, and God was with them, literally with them. The danger was real, the danger was there, but God was with them in it. What if bad things never happened to us, right? What if we our lives were just perfect all the time? What kind of message would that send to people? They think, man, you know, Yeah, of course you believe in God. Your life's perfect. Of course you do, because everything's good. That's why God allows things to happen in our lives, because if we still have faith, that's a huge testimony to other people. I was thinking of a couple in our church who I just love this couple so much, and they lost their girl to cancer, and I remember going through this trial with them, and it was like the worst. It was the worst. It was horrible. It was so sad and so just... It didn't seem right. But then I saw this couple just continue to have faith in God. And then I saw this couple lose their child and continue to have faith in God. Then I saw this couple come together and create, basically bring their community in around them. And they started doing like a cancer awareness, and they started raising funds for cancer, and they still do it. I think it's been like 10 years, which is nuts. And I see this stuff happen. I'm like, that's like the worst thing that could happen. That is the worst thing right there. But yet they still have faith in God. And that puts so much more faith of God in me, because I'm like, if they can do that, if they believe in still going through this trial, then God is real and he is good, right? And so when we go through difficult times, realize that At the end of the day, God's an eternal God. And if eternal life wasn't real, a lot of this wouldn't make sense. But being that it is real, this is a vapor, right? Like, this life is a vapor. That's what James talks about. Like, this life is a vapor. We are here today, gone tomorrow. It is a short life. So you might as well enjoy it. You might as well spend time with your families. Anyway, I'm getting off track. The second one is commit to less, deliver more. This is a personal one for me. I overcommit myself all the time. I just do. If people ask me, hey, you want to do this? Usually my friends, they don't ask me to do stuff anymore. Like, they don't ask me because I will flat out say no all the time. They ask my wife to do stuff, and then my wife will always say yes, and then she'll get me to do it, right? I'm like, babe, we've like committed to way too much stuff here, and it stresses me out. So in 2019, this is a personal thing for me. I'm going to commit to less, and I'm going to do more. So my grandpa John, my dad's dad, he used to always say something that stuck with me. I would ask him, he would say, hey, you know, maybe we'll go fishing next week. He said, if the Lord be willing. That's what he always said. That was like his catchphrase. He's like, we'll go fishing if the Lord be willing. We'll do this if the Lord be willing. We'll do that if the Lord be willing. I love that. It's like a spiritual cop-out, but I love it. It's like you're saying, like, hey, we're going to do this if it's God's will, but if it's not, we're not going to do it. If it works out, we'll do it, but if not, then we're not going to do it. But I love it because he was in a place where he understood that things happen. Things come up. How many times have you guys ever been in a place where you've committed to something like a month in advance, and then it's the week of, and you're like, I don't have time for that. I don't have the energy for that. Right? So commit to less, deliver more. Matthew 5 basically talks about letting your yes be yes and your no be no. Because when we commit to something and say we're going to do it, and we don't do it, if we back out, that's horrible. It makes us look like a huge flake. And so we end up having to pull teeth sometimes to make these commitments come through that we probably should have never even made. So that's just wisdom. Hopefully that'll help some of you guys. I don't know if you guys are in the same boat that I'm in, but that one's probably more for me. The next one is learn not to judge others. And this one I wanted to leave out. But I had this thing where I wanted seven thoughts. But I thought, you know what? I'm going to leave that one in there because it's important. Oh, yeah. I don't think that this church has a huge problem with judging. I really believe VBF is one of the best churches and that has the best people. I really do. And judgment doesn't seem to be a huge prevalent problem, but maybe it is a little bit under the surface. Think about what judging is for a second, okay? Like, if somebody comes up to you and says, hey, did you hear about so-and-so? Like, what's your reaction to that, right? Do you want to hear the dirt? Do you want to know what's going on? I think it's easy to get caught up in that. It's easy to get caught up in talking about people. But a lot of times our information is misinformation. Have you guys ever played that game Telephone? Like you heard from this person who heard from that person who heard from that person, and all of a sudden that person's horrible, right? Like, it's just not good. And so judging, basically what it means is to make up your mind before you actually know. Okay? It's different than, let's say you have a relative who borrows money from you over and over and over, and they're very irresponsible. It's okay for you in that case to make a judgment call because you know them, right? You know that they're irresponsible. You know you shouldn't give them any more money because you're enabling them, right? Like, there's a difference between that and just not really knowing somebody and hearing something and just believing it. And I think that the church as a whole, I think VBF is really good at this, but I think we can even be better at this. And so I'm going to leave that there. Check yourself if you need to on that. Maybe you need to tell somebody else to stop doing it. I don't know, but the one thing I do know is if the church treated itself better, if we treated each other better, more people would want to be involved. More people would want to be around us, right? And so I want to encourage you guys to just take that thought however you want to take it. The next one is be smart and stay calm. I like this one. Matthew 10:16 is Jesus' words. This is the way Jesus said it. Jesus says, behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. And I've always wondered, what does that mean? Like, be wise as serpents, but innocent as doves. I think this is what it means. It means be smart, but stay calm. Realize what's going on around you. Realize that there are dangerous people. Realize that there are people that want to take advantage of you. Realize that there are people that are toxic, right? And realize that there are situations that you shouldn't be in. Be aware of those things. But when you're aware of them, don't be super overly aggressive and fight everyone. Instead, stay calm and just watch yourself. It's very rarely that God calls you to just go tackle somebody, right? It's very rarely that God calls you to just call somebody and tell them what's up. Like, when was the last time you were in prayer and you're like, "Dear Lord, what do I do today?" And God's like, "Go tell them what, to give them the what for." Like, it's very rare, right? Instead, God would just have us watch and be patient and just understand how to sidestep trouble sometimes. There's a lot of people that literally have nothing better to do but to pick a fight. They enjoy it, right? Like, they love doing it. You got to learn how to sidestep those people because all they're doing is wasting your time. That's it. Just wasting your good time. And you don't have a lot of it. I mean, like I said, like, 2018 flew by. How much extra time did you have in 2018? How did you use it, right? Like, did we use it well? How much of our time was wasted by people who just don't respect it? You know what I mean? The next one is invest in what you believe in. Believe in what you invest in. This is a statement I put on social media and got in a fight with a lady. It was fun. But as I just tell you, not to get in fights with people. But the idea comes from this passage in Matthew 6. I'm going to read that. It's actually 6:19-21. But Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal." So the idea there is that you can work really hard and you can gain all kinds of earthly possessions, but when you die, those aren't going with you, right? Like they're going to stay here. You're going to give it to somebody else, and that's cool. Like, if, you know, if you have a nice car, you can give it to your kids, or you have a little bit of money, you can do that. But ultimately, earthly possessions aren't worth a whole lot when you're dead, right? That's the whole idea. And I love this scripture, but I really love the next part where it says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And this whole idea, it has to do with like your treasure being your energy, your treasure being your time, your treasure being whatever resources you have. If you invest those things, then your heart will start to care about those things. If you spend time building a house by hand, you're going to start caring about that project, right? Your heart will actually start to be involved in it when you start doing it, right? There's that whole idea that everyone believes that you should follow your heart, but that's not what Jesus says. Jesus actually says the opposite of that. Jesus says you should lead your heart. Like what you should do is you should do what's right, what you know is right, even if it's uncomfortable, even if you don't feel like doing it. And that's a huge sign of maturity. If you can do the thing you don't feel like doing, that is a huge sign of maturity. Because if you do that, you know that your heart will start caring about that thing and you will start to feel like doing that thing. Like working out, it's the same thing. Like, how many of you guys want to work out after eating 5 pies over the holidays or whatever we did, right? You don't want to do it, but when you start to do it, you start caring about it more. It's the same thing. Motion creates emotion, right? And this is the stuff that Jesus taught. And it's so basic, but it's also so it's so countercultural, right? It's like it's so opposite of what people actually believe. So invest in what you believe in, and then you'll believe in what you invest in. If you believe in God, if you believe in Jesus, invest in the kingdom. I think that's a pretty good investment. The next one is treat those who love you most like they are the ones who love you most. I don't know why, but it seems like we treat the people closest to us the worst. Why is that? I think it's like a proximity thing. I think it's the fact that when we're in a bad mood, the people that are closest to us, they get the brunt of it, right? They're just around us more. And so, you know, that's kind of unfortunate. So this year, what I'm going to try to do is I'm going to try to, like, make sure that I'm treating the people that are closest to me the best. Because I they're the ones that are going to take care of you, right? They're the ones that are going to put you in the old folks' home someday, or not, or just take care of you at home and feed you, right? Like, they're the ones that God has brought into your life. to be there for you. And so be there for them. Matthew 22:37-39 says, love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those two commands are the most important thing, and they're together. If you love God with all your heart and soul and mind, you're going to end up loving the people around you too. And so it's cause and effect. So I'd encourage you to do that, because those people that God has brought into your life are important, especially those lifelong, especially like if you're married, obviously, your husband, your wife, they are important, kind of a big deal. Treat them well. Treat them the best you can. Yeah, you're going to get in little fights, and you're going to get in little disagreements, but ultimately realize that God brought that person into your life, right? That's a big deal. It really is. And so I'd encourage you just to treat them well. Your family, your friends, the people that God has brought into your life, treat them well. The last one, and this is where we'll end, is open your eyes to your flaws and replace bad habits with good ones. We all have issues, right? Raise your hand if you have a problem. We all do, okay? A lot more people will have problems than they do resolutions, which is good. We got stuff to work on. But open your eyes to your flaws, but don't stress about them. Don't dwell on them. Just realize that you have a flaw or two, and work on one thing at a time, okay? And replace bad habits with good ones. If you want to change your behavior, let's say that you smoke, or you just, maybe you're a caffeine person. I'm a caffeine person. I still haven't got away from it. But let's say you have a bad habit. You say this word that you don't want to say anymore, or you're doing things you don't want to do. The best way to break that habit is to replace it with a good thing. Romans 12:21 basically says, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And that whole idea is just do what's right, and then you won't have time. You won't have the energy to do what's wrong. You can try really hard to stop doing something that you don't want to do, and you're going to fail if that's your approach. The only way to stop doing something bad is to go over and do something good. Really, I mean, that's the way it works. That's where our brains work. And so let's say you have a bad habit. Let's say you smoking. That's just a common one. And you feel the urge to smoke. That's called a cue. That's like your mind is saying, yes, you need to do that, and that'll make you feel better. Instead of doing that, do something different. Grab an apple. Carry an apple with you. I know this sounds stupid, but like carry it with you and take a bite out of the apple every single time you feel that urge. And your mind, if you do that for like 40 days, your mind will start to rewire itself for apples, right? I know this is a dumb example, but you can use this idea for any type of habit. Do you see what I'm saying? There's actually a book. I had some habits that I had to work on, and I got this book. It's called Habits by a guy named Charles Duhigg. And I recommend it. It's a yellow cover. It's just called Habits. You can Google it, Charles Duhigg. And he talks about all these cue reward kind of things. And it's like basic psychology stuff, but I think that it's also biblical, you know? It's funny about all this psychology stuff, all the science stuff. There's so many things I read, and I'm like, yep, the Bible had that figured out 2,000 years ago, right? And it's just funny to see this stuff kind of catching up. But Just at the end of the day, I used to have this sign on my door in my old office, because I've always had a really cluttered mind. I used to have a sign on my door that said, simplify or die. And I know that's like way too much. That's like really dramatic, right? But for me, it was like, I have to simplify my life. I have to just go out and realize what's important. And then I have to realize that everything else isn't that important. It's not worth getting stressed over, right? It's just not. And if we can just breathe a little bit and realize that, yes, we have time. Maybe not a lot. I don't know how much we have, but we have some time, right? And take it day by day. But over time, things will get better. They'll improve, and we'll continue to grow, even if we feel like we're done growing, even if you feel like you're perfect, right? There's always room to grow. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for who you are and what you're doing in our lives. And Father, I don't know what you're doing in each individual person's heart, but I pray that they would know and that they would take it seriously. I pray that all of us would focus now on the things that we need to focus on, the things that we need to give up, that we need to lay on your altar and just say, Lord, take this from me. And I pray that you give us wisdom. And I pray that you give us that fire back for our calling, Lord. I pray that you give us that feeling that we had at the beginning. Lord, it says in Revelation that when we lose our first love, all we got to do is go back and do the things we did at first. And so remind us to do that, Lord. And I just pray for every single person in here that they would just do that, they would focus on that. But if you're here for the first time, or maybe you're here, you've been here a lot, and you want to really change your life, and you really want to make a commitment in 2019, you want it to be better, I would encourage you to make a choice to follow Jesus if you haven't done that. And if that's you, then I'm going to ask you to come up and get prayer from one of these elders up here afterwards. And if you just want to work on something, if you need to confess something to these guys, these are trustworthy people up here. So if you want to talk to them and get prayer from them, I would encourage you to come up and get some work done before you leave if you need that, okay? Other than that, amen. Love you guys. Happy New Year. Be safe out there. And we'll see you next year, all right?
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our Lord.